Xena. I'll always love you. Well, welcome everyone to Xena Noobers Podcast, aka XNU. My name is Cass and I will be your pod host. Also, welcome back to those of you who have been following this podcast so far. We're now up to episode number 86. This podcast show for all the Xena Uber subtext stories that are out there that have not been given a voice. So I hope everyone is doing well. I am doing fabulous. I was able to start back into running last week. And this will be the second week that I am doing my running. So I'm not back up to the normal speed, but I'll get up to there eventually. You know, patience is a virtue, of which I have none. The song snippet you hear this week is actually a dedication. And it comes to us from one of my friends. And she wishes to say that it is a dedication from B to her woman. And it says, I am resolved that there are no words adequate enough to express the depth of my love for you. It simply is, and we in turn simply are, love. I love you, baby, always and forever, B. So there you go, B. I hope everything works out for you and your partner, and I hope to hear wedding bells soon enough. Now, we've got a few good things going on this week and some interesting things going on this week. And we're going to get right into it so we can get on with the show. All right, in this week's book dedication, or actually not a book dedication, but book review. In this week's book review, my bookwench has sent in the book Flesh and Bone by Ronica Black. Now, as usual, I will always have a link on my show notes for everyone to be able to go and read the reviews. And it goes like this, Flesh and Bone, what every woman is made of. Beautiful, daring, naughty, sensual. She has a fantasy. She wants to go higher. She searches for her own definition of love. She never says never, has her first orgasm, yearns for the everlasting. This is woman. You, me, the girl next door. We are all flesh and bone. An eclectic collection of lesbian erotica, the stories in Flesh and Bone are as individual as every woman. From the sweetest petals of romance to the thorny edges of desires, our stories are as individual as we are. Yet one theme remains constant, and keeps us intertwined. We are all flesh and bone. So thank you to my book wench for the book review. All right, in the movie review this week, I've dug up a movie over from Wolf Video, and it says, My Mother Likes Women. And I'll have a link on my show notes, as usual. And on the product description, it says, This delightful screwball comedy stars the lovely Rosa Maria Salda, all about my mother, as Sofia, a concert pianist who has fallen in love with her much younger female colleague, Aliska, an Aliska Sorva, and now must brave the reactions of her supposedly open-minded daughters. Smartly performed by a trio of Spain's finest actresses, Maria Pujalte, Silvia Abascal, and Leonor Watling. Sofia, a renowned pianist, is long separated from the daughter's father. It is on the occasion of her birthday that she delivers her stunning announcements. She has fallen in love again. Clearly smitten, she begins to describe her new lover, somewhat younger, also a pianist. The daughters, thrilled and eager to hear more, are interrupted by the doorbell. To their surprise, it's mom's new girlfriend. The daring feature debut of Spanish directors Inés Paris and Daniela Fejerman, My Mother Likes Women, traces the emotional landscape of a modern family that nevertheless registers seismic shock at this unexpected news. Sophia's daughters are the children of left-wing intellectuals, yet even their progressive background hasn't prepared them for the emotions they experience when their mother brings her new lover into their lives. It is in Spanish with English subtitles.
Come and get
me. All right, moving on over into the Lucy news. We've got over at Renee O'Connor's webpage, the latest news says on the 11th of the 11th, newsletter samples. Renee's video blog and Five Way To's videos. These are samples from the ROC newsletter. These videos were in the September edition. To view all of November's videos, please join. Come in and get more. And there's three videos you can have a look there at. It's Renee's video blog, a Five Ways to Save Face video, and an excerpt from Fitful coming in 2010 that you could take a look at. So check it over on Renee's blog spot, Renee's fan club site, and join on up.
Come and get some.
And then over on Mary D's website at ausxip.com, in the latest updates, you have the Lucy Lawless, Never in a Month of Sundays, and the press release of Lucy Offers Key Copenhagen Cash. Then you have Mary D's blog, This and That and Other Stuff. You have some up information regarding Adrian Wilkinson, information on Michael Hurst, and information on Jennifer Ward Leland. So check it over at Mary D's site at AUSXIP.
Come and get
me. Okay, and we continue on with A Matter of Pride by Melissa Good, the second half of part 6. Well, Gabriel paused as they entered the courtyard where the games competitors were living. The space was ringed with high burning torches, and there were tables of food and drink everywhere. Men and women in white togas clustered round them, and in one corner, a harpist was producing light, tinkling music that was very pleasant on her ears. She felt... Gabrielle's eyes lifted to the tall, cloaked figure sitting quietly on Argo's back next to her. Out. She felt out of place, to be honest. Everyone in the square looked pristine, and in her grubby traveling clothes she'd worn all day, the bard had to resist the temptation to surreptitiously brush herself off. Come on. Xena pointed towards a side arch, where she could see a fenced area obviously meant for horses. She was glad she decided to ride Argo over. The distance wasn't that great from the inn up here, but it was mostly uphill and in crowds, and being on horseback when you had a broken kneecap lent a definite advantage in both cases. They did attract attention, however. Xena could sense eyes turning to them, watching in weary speculation as they crossed the courtyard, having to pass through several smaller groups to get to the archway that led to the barn. She twitched at her cloak and returned a few gazes with her own. Beside her, Gabrielle visibly straightened and moved a bit closer, reaching out and putting her hand on Xena's good knee in unconscious possession. There were, the warrior acknowledged, comments after they passed, but she decided not to hear them and just kept on going. As they got to the barn, a slim, red-haired girl came out, studying them with a knowing eye before she approached.
Hi.
Hi, Gabrielle responded immediately.
Got a couple of horses here that could use a place to stay.
She edged ahead of Xena with Io.
This place is for the folks who've entered the games,
the girl responded politely.
That's right,
Gabrielle agreed.
We have.
She offered up Io's reins.
So I guess we're in the right spot. You have?
Now there was a definite bemusement to the girl's tone.
Yep.
Gabrielle dug the two coins she'd been given earlier in the day out and presented them. They were examined by a pair of curious amber eyes, then accepted.
Okay.
The girl reached out and took Io's reins.
I'll take this one inside. You want your gear?
Gabrielle reached up to unstrap their bags as Xena dismounted. She watched the warrior out of the corner of eye, noting the smooth, even grace despite the injury and the fever. The cloak Xena was wearing covered the splint on her leg, and there was only a slightest pause in her motion as she walked slowly around Argo, shouldering her own bag and giving the girl only the briefest nod as she motioned Micah to follow her. What that must be costing. Gabrielle reluctantly tendered a nod to her partner's stubborn pride as she paused near the horse tender.
Both of these horses are trained for fighting, she told her quietly. They don't take to rough handling.
The girl flat out stared at her.
Fighting?
She repeated.
Are you sure you're in the right place?
Good question.
Just be careful with them, okay?
Gabriel said.
I don't want anyone to get hurt.
She reached up and unfastened her staff, letting it drop into her hand and swing it into position tucked under her arm. Then she gave Argo a pat and headed for the path towards the buildings, where Xena's tall form was just visible. She caught up to the warrior as they reached the entrance and slid in her arm around her waist, taking part of the weight off her bad side without even thinking of asking permission. An arm draped over her shoulder instantly, and Xena didn't utter a word of protest. She could feel the tension in the warrior's body and the warmth of the fever, and she crossed her fingers that they could get inside and get to their area without something major happening to make things even worse. So, of course, as they went around the next corner, they almost crashed right into one of the jerks from the road. He stopped them short and stared at them.
By the gods, what are you doing here?
He roared, pointing at Micah.
You little...
Hey!
Xena had swept her hood down. Still not keeping it up, tough guy? Uh-oh. Gabrielle put two and two together and got her staff out and into her hand.
Oh, it's you, Smartmouth!
He advanced on the warrior.
Come to spew your filth here, have you? You vagabond! Why, you are...
Xena.
Gabrielle kept her voice low and steady, seeing the look in the warrior's eyes just before she grabbed the man's toga and threw him against the wall, then hit him two pressure points in rapid succession.
You were saying?
Xena ignored her and put a hand on either side of the man's head as he leaned frozen against the wall.
Hmm? I didn't hear you.
Drool started leaking from his mouth as he stared at her in terror.
Now you listen.
Xena leaned closer, her dark leanness in stark contrast to his robust golden body.
You ever touch any of my friends ever again, I'm going to make sure it's the last thing you ever do. Got me?
His chest heaved, and he tried to breathe.
Got me?
Xena repeated softly.
You can nod yes, or you can die. Your choice.
Xena,
Gabrielle said again, her eyes darting around the corridors. The man stared at her, then he nodded frantically. With a flickering motion, Xena hit the point again and released him. He slid down the wall and collapsed into a huddled ball, one arm covering his head. The warrior gazed at him in disgust, then eased around his splayed limbs and continued down the hall.
Good choice, she remarked.
Gabrielle licked her lips nervously and followed, catching up to her partner, then leading her down one crooked corridor to a small cul-de-sac that was obviously not much used.
In there,
she indicated a door.
Ah, we're in the snooty part of town,
Xena said as she pushed the door open, now limping heavily.
Stupid bastard,
she added as they walked into a mostly darkened room and let the door close behind them. Gabrielle dropped her pack and went to one lonely torch, taking it from the sconce and circling the room to light the others.
I still don't know if this was the
Her voice stopped as the room was revealed, and the bard returned the torch to its holder, facing her with a knowing look.
Okay. Yes, it was,
the warrior said.
Thought you'd think so.
Gabrielle smiled tensely.
Please sit down.
Xena turned in a circle first, surveying their new quarters, three times the size of the old ones, and due to the building's stone walls, blessedly cool inside. One side of the room was taken up by a large, ornately cut stone bathtub, with an incongruous stone cat crouched at its head, its mouth obviously meant to issue water. On the other side of the room, a large, though very plain bed was pressed against the wall, its surface draped in white linen. The rest of the room featured two wooden chests, and racks meant obviously to hold either weapons or other game items. There was a pile of worn stones in the corner, apparently to serve as warm-up devices, and a stout table whose worn top bore marks of weapons and tools worked on top of it. It was plain, but to Xena's senses, blessedly clean, and Spartan in its functionality. She gave Gabrielle a look of complete relief and limped to the armchair between the two chests, dropping into it with a mostly stifled little groan. There was a tiny silence. Then they all took a breath at once.
Xena,
sorry about that, Xena said at the same time.
That was amazing,
Micah also chimed in. Another small silence.
Thank you for stopping him,
Micah finally said.
Listen, there's a chamber outside. I'll put my things there, then see if I can find some water and look around.
Be careful,
Gabriel told him, but he was already gone, closing the door behind him. She regarded the panel for a beat, then turned and walked over to Xena's still cloaked form.
Honey.
I know. Xena leaned an elbow on the chair arm and rested her chin on her fist. But it was the fastest way to get past the big ox. She exhaled. I wasn't in any mood for a fist fight. Gabriel weighed the value of continuing the discussion, then merely reached over and scratched the back of her partner's neck, pulling her head closer and kissing the top of it. Xena made a small noise, deep in her throat, and rested her head against Gabriel's hip. Her stomach was doing flip-flops, and everything hurt, stressed by both her ride, her determination not to use a crutch walking in here, and her confrontation with the walking fertilizer pile. I think I'd better lie down.
I think so, too.
Gabriel rubbed her back gently.
Let's get this cloak off and get you in bed. Then I'll get our spare furs out and make you a nice, snuggly nest, okay?
One blue eyeball appeared and rotated up to regard her, its brow lifted.
Come on.
Gabriel held out a hand.
Let's get you tucked in. Bedtime for warriors.
Gabrielle, Xena sighed as she hoisted herself to her feet. In case you haven't noticed the difference, I'm not Dory.
Eh.
Gabrielle returned the bantering as she helped Xena over to the bed and stripped off her cloak.
Like I said, just a little size difference.
She patted the warrior's belly.
Lay down.
Half amused, half outraged, Xena did as she was asked, easing her body down onto the clean cloth and letting her body go limp. It felt very good not to be lying on a straw and leather pallet, that was for sure. It also felt very good to have Gabriel removing her outer clothes, fevered though she was, and pulling her boots off carefully. She felt very tired, a combination of the heat, the pain, and the sickness she suspected, and the utter relief of simply lying down, being cool, and having Gabrielle's hands all over her definitely made things look up. Hey, Gab, she murmured, her thoughts touchy-muzzy from the fever.
Hmm?
Gabriel answered as she shook out their spare furs, sending a waft of home spreading through the austere room. She laid the furs over Xena and tucked the sides in as she knelt down next to her.
Yes, honey.
Those dancers, the warrior said.
Yeah?
Gabriel brushed her fingertips over one of her partner's flushed cheeks. Weren't a patch on you. Gabriel almost swallowed her tongue.
Excuse me? Weren't a patch on me for what?
Making me burn. Xena watched her through half-closed eyes, seeing the blush even in the relatively low light. She managed a small chuckle. Now your ears are red.
I bet they are,
Gabriel muttered, scrubbing her heated skin.
But thanks,
she added, huskily. She leaned over and kissed a warrior's forehead.
Try to get some rest, sweetheart, okay?
Okay. Xena let her eyes close. You too. She tugged lightly on Gabriel's tunic.
I will.
Gabriel waited for the warrior's breathing to slow and her body to relax into sleep before gently entwining their hands. But not before she lifted Xena's fingers to her lips and pressed them against the knuckles, hoping that sleep and time and Xena's own magic would start to make things better. With the warrior comfortably sleeping, Gabriel now took the time to arrange their things and sort out the possessions she merely stuffed into the bags in haste at the inn. The familiar activity also let her nerves settle after the encounter in the hallway and gave her time to rearrange her thoughts regarding their coming here. What would the big doofus do? It was hard to tell with that type. Gabriel frowned as she removed Xena's well-used healer's kit and spread out its contents, mentally making a note of the herbs they needed to replenish. Either he would skulk off and they'd never see him again. Or he would be stupid and want to regroup his ego by getting back at Xena. One thing in their favor, she considered, was that there was no witnesses other than the four of them. If Xena had done what she'd done in the middle of the courtyard, the bard was sure it would mean big trouble.
but since they'd been alone and no one else had seen. She sighed as she removed the clean shift and set it down. She didn't blame Xena for doing what she did. The jerk had obviously been about to start something ugly, and Xena had ended the threat in the quickest manner she can think of. So, Gabrielle dug out her soap and some linen towels and set them near the bathtub. It happened, and it was over. If something came out of it, they'd deal with whatever they was. Having decided that, she sat on the edge of the tub and examined the big cat. It had cleverly carved marble bird in its mouth, and she reached out to fit her hand around, and then turned it gently and pulled. Sure enough, with a faint grinding click, the bird came loose and released a flow of water into the tub. Heh, Gabrielle liked that. She stuck her finger into the flow and found it pleasantly warm to the touch, but not hot. She reached down and moved the stop stone into the place and watched in satisfaction as the tub filled up with water. Her skin had been itching all day from the heat and the dust of the city, and the thought of being completely clean was just too enticing to pass up. With a sigh, she reached down and unlaced her boots, tugging them and the socks under them off with a sense of relief. The stone floor felt wonderful against her bare feet, and she got up and dropped the leather footwear near Xena's, then stripped off her tunic and added that fabric to the two pair of socks she needed to wash later on. A soft breeze blew in the window and over her bare skin, and she rubbed her upper arms a little as she stepped over to the bathtub and climbed inside, settling down into the burbling water with a genuine heartfelt sigh. The tub was huge, big enough for the two of them, really, or some of the hulking giants she'd seen in the courtyard outside. Gabrielle gazed down her length and wiggled her toes, taking the soap and raising a lather with it before she started scrubbing her skin. The smell of homemade cake from Cyrene's secret recipe made her smile, as it brought warm, happy memories of home to her, bath times for the two of them, and for Dory, where laughter and splashing fun was never absent. Gabrielle washed her arms as she mused. She missed a daughter, she realized suddenly. She missed Dory's squeal of joy and her determined, inventive nature. She missed the way Dory made Xena smile, and the way the warrior would play with the toddler, rolling around on the floor with their wild games of catch and hide and seek. Dory had made such a difference in their lives. Gabrielle sometimes wondered where they would be now if... If... She washed her kneecap, if Dory hadn't happened. It had been a short fortnight after they'd gotten home, after their reunion. Gabrielle noticed a number of new, sad things about Xena since her return from the lava pit. Chiefly the warrior's half-hidden bouts of depression that worried her, and a reluctance to talk about the past, especially the recent past, with anyone. The bard had realized as she dropped off to sleep one night that one thing Xena hadn't asked her about, in fact, was the baby. Not a word. It was as though Xena was afraid to ask the question would bring on an answer she didn't want to hear. So why hadn't Gabrielle just told her? The bard had gazed out at the starlit window of their home, aware of the gentle breathing just behind her, and wondered about that. Had Xena changed her mind? Maybe she didn't want a child now. It hurt to think that, but Gabrielle knew her partner had been through an awful trial, had been in so much pain, that it was possible she didn't want that risk. Didn't want to open herself up yet to another potential knife thrust to her heart. Well, Gabrielle had grimly faced facts. They was going to have to deal with it, regardless of how Xena felt. Made her sad, though, because her memories, their joint happiness, when she realized she was pregnant, were sharply vivid, to find out that it wasn't something Xena wanted any longer. She hoped that wasn't true. Gabrielle had finally given up the thought, exhausted after a long day of working around Xenophilus, and drifted off to sleep. Waking at just past dawn, with the warm golden light of a new day spilling over both of them, Gabrielle turned and looked up to see Xena just watching her quietly, a smile tugging at her lips as their eyes met. Morning. Xena's smile intensified. Then she exhaled and circled the bard with both arms, hugging her in silence. But Gabrielle could feel, through the link between them, the melancholy ache that countered that smile, and something in her demanded that she do something to ease it. She took a deep breath as Xena released her, then rolled over to face the warrior. Hey. The truth was first step. Hey. Xena had quietly replied, blinking eyes outlined still the dark shadows. How do I start this? Gabrielle had frantically fished for a way, then just said the first thing she could think of. We need to go shopping. Xena cocked her head, a slightly puzzled look on her face. Oh, okay?
she responded. "Any particular reason you woke up with that on your mind?" she asked. "Something you need?" "Clothes," Gabrielle said, having seen her way through this. The finely arched dark eyebrows knit together. "Something wrong with the ones you have?" Thoria asked mildly. "I mean, if you want to get more, sure, but they're starting not to fit." The bard interrupted her gently, watching the angular face with intent eyes. Not entirely true, really. Just a slowing grove snugness around her belt she started to notice lately. But for a moment she didn't think Xena was going to get it. The warrior's expression had shifted to one of bemusement, and Gabrielle could almost see the wry mark about to form on her partner's lips, surely a knowing jibe about her appetite. And then, as she watched, Xena's face stilled, and her eyes narrowed just a bit, only her blinking eyelids breaking a sudden, very tense silence. Gabrielle had found her gaze, caught and held by a look of such heartbreaking uncertainty it almost brought tears to her eyes. And so, she forced herself to shrug and smile as though her answer didn't mean anything at all. "Well, come on, Z. I had to start showing sometime, didn't I?" She kept her voice light and watched Xena's reaction, willing it not to be what she feared. "Shh." Xena stopped, her voice trailing off as her eyes widened in realization. She stared at the bard for a long moment, then exhaled, her lashes fluttering close for several heartbeats as her head bowed. Gabrielle's heart started to pound. "Hey, don't get all mad at me," she heard, stammering her voice as she tried to shove aside a sudden wash of fear. "Xena." And then Xena's eyes had lifted, and the blue eyes had opened, and she seen the tears, huge silent ones that drenched the warrior's cheeks and caught sparkles of sunlight as they fell. She reached out and pulled Gabrielle to her, holding her tightly in faintly shaking arms, rocking them both mindlessly for a very long time. Finally, Xena had taken a deep breath and loosened her grip, just a little, enough for Gabrielle to squirm around and look at her.
"It was such a miracle getting you back," the warrior whispered. "I didn't think..."
She just stopped speaking then, and shaking her head. Gabrielle lifted a hand and wiped the tears off her face.
"Sweetheart, I'm sorry," she'd said. "We should have talked about this before now."
She hesitated.
"I just didn't know if you... I mean, I know it's been hard, how much you went through. I..."
She felt the arms tighten around her again in silent emotion.
"No."
Xena's voice had been ragged.
"I just didn't have the guts to ask."
It was all right. Gabrielle felt almost dizzy with relief.
"Well," she sighed, "I held my breath after I woke up, when I knew my cycles were due."
Alone in that hospice, counting the days, hoping. They lay like that in silent comfort until the sun inched its way up the headboard, and the sounds of the stirring village came in through the window. Finally, Xena stirred, sniffing little, clearing her throat.
"New clothes, huh?"
Gabrielle had her head buried in the covers over Xena's chest.
"Mm-hmm. Unless you want me to steal yours."
Xena had chuckled as she had slid a hand under those same covers and gently explored the subtly changing contours of Gabrielle's body.
"Just barely there,"
she'd commented, giving the bard's not quite flat stomach a tickle. Gabrielle had relaxed in that happy wash of sunlight, basking in a sense of almost ethereal relief.
"Look outside, Xena. What a gorgeous day."
"It sure is,"
the warrior had agreed softly, her breath warming the edge of the bard's ear.
"Now."
Ah, well, Gabrielle smiled at the memory. They were certainly well past that, and Dory had turned out to be all they'd dreamed of. The bard ducked under the surface of the water and scrubbed her hair, then emerged, rinsing the suds off. "Okay, more than they'd ever expected," she amended with a silent giggle, as she put the stopper into the cat's mouth to cut off the flow of water, then moved the stopper stone and let the bath begin to drain out. A quick glance towards the bed reassured her that Xena was still soundly sleeping, and she kept her eyes on the warrior as she got up and climbed out of the tub, picking up the piece of linen she laid by and drying herself off. She'd just gotten the towel tucked around her body when a soft knock came at the door, surprising her and making her jump a little.
After a second's hesitation, she padded across the floor and opened the door a little, standing behind it, ready if it burst inward, as Ina had taught her all those years ago.
"Oh,"
she recognized Micah's face.
"Hi. Come on in, but be really, really quiet,"
she murmured softly, opening the door wider to admit the boy.
Oh, wow. That looks great."
"That was a large platter of fresh fruits and a half loaf of bread, with a round of goat's cheese next to it. Micah was also carrying a flagon, and he brought both in and set them down carefully on the wide table, sneaking a glance towards the bed before he straightened and walked back over to her.
"You really caused a stir,"
he said in a low voice.
"Someone recognized you."
"Me?"
Gabriel was surprised.
"Both of you, yeah,"
the boy agreed.
"Some women from the West, high-class women, who said they'd seen you years back, but knew you of some war or fight you'd been involved with."
Gabrielle scratched a jaw.
"That doesn't narrow things down much,"
she said.
"It was a time you were fighting just about every day, for a while there."
Micah blinked, then shook his head a little, averting his eyes modestly from her barely covered form.
"I didn't hear more than that, just that everyone's talking about you out there,"
he told her.
"Some of them aren't happy, and others are,
rude,"
Gabrielle hazarded a guess.
"Sort of, yes,"
Micah admitted.
"Saying things about how you shouldn't have been allowed to enter the games."
"Why?"
Gabrielle leaned against the wall casually and crossed her ankles.
"Well, they've all been training for so long, and it's so late, I guess,"
the boy responded.
"One of them said they'd hope you didn't expect any favors from the judges, just because of who you are."
"Just because of who I am,"
Gabrielle puzzled over that one.
"Just because of who we are? I don't get it. We're just going to go out there and do the best we can, that's all. If anything, we're at a big disadvantage, because they've all had time to practice and all that stuff."
Micah nodded.
"I think you're right,"
he said.
"I've seen them for months. They do nothing, really, but exercise and practice the games, and provide entertainment for the citizens. Maybe that's why they're so upset, because you and Xena, you're real, if you understand me."
"Real.
I think I know what you mean,"
Gabriel said.
"It's a pride thing."
He nodded.
"Yeah, they've all got lots of that."
A smile tugged at Gabriel's lips.
"All of them put together can't come close to touching the amount of pride someone I know has."
Her eyes flicked to the bed, then back at him.
"It's a heavy weight sometimes."
He gazed somberly at her.
"Because who she has to win, right? Because she has to win, right?"
"Right,"
the bard said.
"Not because of your town?"
"No."
Gabrielle exhaled, a little surprised at the true depth of his understanding. Micah nibbled the inside of his lip and gave his short tunic a little tug.
"But she's hurt,"
he finally said.
"I don't understand how..."
Then he stopped and looked at Gabrielle with a wry little smile.
"I guess that's why you have so many stories to tell, isn't it?"
"Yeah."
The bard had to chuckle a little.
"That does have something to do with it."
She paused.
"They're not giving you a hard time because of all of this here, are they?"
A faint shrug.
"A little, but it's okay. I know what to do for that,"
he replied confidently.
"I'm going to go do the good servant thing and see what else I can hear."
He seemed a little more settled now.
"Good job,"
Gabrielle complimented him.
"And thanks for the platter. You made great choices."
Micah was visibly pleased with the remark.
"You're welcome."
He slipped out the door and closed it silently behind him, leaving Gabrielle to regard its surface with a faint bemusement.
"Interesting person,"
she remarked to thin air before she walked over to the table, twisting a grape free and popping it into her mouth, chewing it as she traded her towel for the clean shift she'd taken out earlier. Through the stone walls, she could hear only the faintest buzz of the courtyard, very different from the inn's noisy bustle, and she found herself stifling a yawn as she contemplated her next course of action. She could update her diary, one hand dropped to rest on the worn surface of the bound parchment, or she could wash their things and put more of their stuff away. Either action would be useful, both made good sense, but Gabrielle was finding her attention being drawn almost irresistibly to the bed, so she gave in to that, leaving her writing behind and crossing the floor to where her partner was now half curled on her side, one long-fingered hand draped over the top of the furs and the other tucked under her head. Almost without thought, Gabriel climbed into the bed's acceptably soft surface and crawled under the furs. It was warm, but not uncomfortable, as she eased closer to Xena. The warrior reacted to her presence even in sleep, reaching out for her and gathering her into a cuddle. Xena's skin felt warm, but the warrior seemed to be resting comfortably, her muscles almost relaxed under the bard's gentle touch. Almost. Gabriel nestled closer, aware of that almost imperceptible sense of presence that was Xena's warning system, maintaining the faintest layer of tension under her skin, and creating the minute twitches in the smooth surface just before her ears and around her nostrils. Xena could have asked for the painkilling herbs, she knew, but in this strange place, Xena would have fought to the very end, not to have those senses blurred in any way, afraid of letting her guard down, and risking the safety of herself and of Gabrielle. It had, Gabrielle had to admit, a perverse nobility to it, despite her frustration at her partner's stubbornness. It wasn't as though Gabrielle was helpless, after all. Not anymore. And yet, the bard felt her eyes growing heavy, and as she pressed a hand lightly against Xena's chest, found her heartbeat slowing to match the sleeper's as her breathing already had. She let her eyelids droop shut and laid her arm across Xena's body, figuring on a few candle marks of sleep to refresh her before she got up to finish her chores. Xena made a low, pleased growling noise deep in her throat and snuggled closer, releasing a satisfied sigh. Gabriel smiled sleepily. "So they recognized us, huh?" A little bit of her ego screamed at that. Well, let them worry. She nuzzled the skin above Xena's collarbone. Let them think they're not ready to handle us. Let them lose sleep over it. A moment later, she certainly wasn't. It was an utter relief to wake up the next morning and not feel like she'd fallen off a cliff. Xena kept her eyes closed and simply absorbed her surroundings through other senses, aware only of a dull ache in her leg to remind her of her injury. Her fever had faded, and her stomach seemed to have settled down. As she took a breath of cool pre-dawn air, she was aware of being relatively comfortable for the first time in days. Nice. Xena slowly arched her body, flexing all her muscles, including the one around her injured knee. With the exception of a slight stiffness in her shoulders, everything else seemed to be in good working order, and she resettled her arms around Gabriel's body with a definitely satisfied sigh. So, what was her plan for the day? Xena let her eyes close again, and she pondered that. She could, she knew, persist in her quest after the child slaves, and spend another day hobbling around the city. She pegged the Athenian townhouse, where they'd taken the kids, as a place she intended to know a lot more about. Cause? Because what, Xena? Her better sense asked her. What are you going to do? Those kids were brought and sold legally, remember? There's no law against bringing in slaves. So the best you could do is wreck the one place, set a few kids free, and then what? Get arrested and tossed in the Athenian jail? That's what. And the next shipment will just go to a different warehouse. Xena chewed the inside of her lip. There had to be a way not only to get those kids free, but to keep more from being shipped in. The question was, could she find it? The puzzle immediately occupied her mind, and she worked over it, letting the darkness outside slowly shift to a dull, dark gray. The rumble of thunder heralded the dawn weather, and a wash of damp, cool air blew in the window, bringing with it a strong hint of rain. Glad we're inside. Xena idly considered, having sorted out her options as she laid the groundwork of her plan. Her eyes roamed around the now visible interior of the room, falling on the platter Gabrielle had left on the table. Ah, fruit. She cautiously introduced the idea of swallowing some to her recalcitrant belly, and was relieved at the lack of queasiness at the thought. Now, if she could just... Gabriel stirred, drawing in a deep breath and stretching, letting her touch slide over Xena's skin before she ended the motion by hugging her. Half-closed green eyes peered up at her.
I just had the nicest dream,
the bard murmured, her voice still husky with sleep.
You were in it.
Xena gazed fondly at her.
I was, huh?
Yeah.
Gabriel nodded, closing her eyes and nuzzling Xena's skin with her lips.
You let me take all your clothes off and cover you in honey for my birthday.
What?
Oh, yeah. And then I licked...
Gabriel! Pale blue eyes snapped wide open as Xena reached down to take firm hold on her partner's chin to tilt it upward. Gabriel started giggling, her entire body shaking with it.
Just kidding,
She snorted, resisting the tug on her chin.
It was a great dream, though. You and I were on a boat, out on the water somewhere. It was sunny, cool. I think we were going somewhere nice.
She finally looked up to see the twinkle in Zena's eyes.
You were singing to me.
A dark eyebrow edged up. Oh, I don't know. That honey sounded pretty nice, Zena drawled. I can tell you I'd been singing. She chuckled soundlessly as Gabrielle reached up to cover her mouth. After a moment, the bard removed her fingers and rolled onto her back, stifling a yawn.
You feeling any better?
She asked.
You look better. Not so pale.
She touched Zena's cheek.
No fever.
Yeah, things are pretty good, the warrior agreed. Just needed some rest, I guess. A flash of lightning lit the room, and they both glanced towards the window. And get out of that damn piece of Hades Inn. Thanks, partner. Moving here was a great idea. Ooh. Gabrielle acknowledged a little squiggle of delight those words could still produce in her. Then she remembered Micah's visit the night before.
Might want to put a hold on the congratsy. Apparently we were recognized coming in here,
she told the warrior.
And there are some unhappy folks out there.
Ah, is that so? Zena absorbed the news. Don't want the competition, eh? Gabrielle solemnly shook her head. Zena revised her baseline plan. Going out and exposing a weakness to her potential opponent might be a bad idea. That could work for her, or against her, for her. In that they might underestimate her capabilities, against her in the fact that anyone worth his salt as a fighter would go right for the injury to her leg to take her out. Gabrielle watched the blue eyes flicker, almost able to see the rapid thoughts crossing the warrior's plained face.
Probably a good thing you pulled that too tough for my leathers act last night, huh?
She hazarded a guess at what Zena was thinking. Zena nodded. Probably a good idea just to hole up here today and let my leg heal as much as it's going to. She pronounced. Stay off of it as long as I can. The bard put her hand on Zena's forehead.
All right, she said. Who are you? What have you done with Zena?
She almost laughed at the half-insulted, half-amused look she got.
Let me see. Didn't I hear myself suggesting that yesterday, or maybe was it the day before?
Yeah. I know. Zena rolled her eyes. So I'm a stubborn, impatient, intolerant pain in the ass. She sighed. And don't I know it. Aw. Zena was so charming when she did that. Gabrielle allowed herself to be charmed willingly. She laid her head down on the warrior's shoulder as she gave Zena's belly a comforting rub.
I wouldn't have you any other way, sweetie.
She said.
It's when you stop acting like that, when I get very scared.
A long, loud roll of thunder made the walls vibrate, and they could hear sheets of rain hitting the stone outside. The sill of the window, too, was now damp, as the wind brought the weather just a little bit inside, despite the overhanging shelter of the roof.
Well, Gabrielle glanced around, at least it's big enough in here for me to get in some staff practice. Can't do much about those races, though, unless you can just give me some pointers.
Zena laced her fingers together and put her hands behind her head. Give you a strategy, you mean? The bard nodded.
Yeah.
An eyebrow cocked in thought. You could take advantage of the traditional rules, Zena said. That might work.
Traditional rules?
Yeah. Dress code. The warrior responded. Rules say everyone competes naked. Gabrielle went very still. After a frozen moment, her eyes very slowly trekked up Zena's body until they met the warrior's.
You're joking with me.
Solemnly, Zena shook her head from side to side. The bard crawled up and poised over her partner's body, getting nose to nose with her and making her eyes almost cross.
Are you seriously telling me you expect me to go out in front of all those people with no clothes on?
Zena stared in fascination at the incredible roundness of Gabrielle's eyes and the gentle flare of her nostrils as she took long, slow breaths. Sure, she said casually. You'll knock them out. What's the problem? Gabrielle's jaw dropped, just a little. Though she spent years as a warlord and prided herself in keeping her composure under the worst of circumstances, it was too much for Zena. She felt her lips twitch, and a chuckle forced its way out of her chest. Gotcha. The green eyes narrowed dangerously.
You little...
Let's not get into size comparison, Zena teased. Grinning, she let her hand slide over her partner's contours.
Oh, you are so toasted, Gabrielle growled,
lowering herself until their foreheads touched.
I almost believed you.
I know. Xena licked the bard's nose.
Ugh!
Gabra immediately dropped her head and rubbed her face in Xena's shirt.
That tickles.
No. Xena wrapped her arms around her and twisted her body, trapping the bard in a solid hold. She then proceeded to lift her shift up and attack her vulnerable ribs with long, agile fingers.
But I bet this does.
Ah!
Gabriel let out a squeal, twisting to try and get away from her tormentor.
Xena!
Both hands were occupied, or else the warrior would have surely clapped them over her sensitive ears. In any case, she gave the impression of pinning them back like a distressed filly as the squeal reached the fingernails in a slight range. Finally, she couldn't take it any longer, and she tensed her stomach muscles, pulling herself up and surprising the bard with a kiss that stopped her mid-caterwaul. Of course, that also slowed her tickling down to something less itchy and more sensual, as Gabriel stopped struggling and responded, dropping to lean on her elbows as she returned the kiss. Then she reached around and bit Xena's ear, escaping as the warrior squawked in outrage, rolling out of the bed, out of the reach of the vengeful fingers.
Ha-ha!
Xena rolled over and reached for the edge of the bed, obviously intent on following her.
Uh-uh!
Gabriel held up a hand.
You promised you'd stay right there,
she warned. Now wait a minute, I did not—
Yes, you did. You promised you'd stay in bed,
the bard accused.
All day, remember?
Gabriel! Xena sputtered indignantly.
That isn't what I meant. I mean, I wasn't— I—
The blonde merely stood there, tapping one bare foot with her hands planted firmly on her hips. After a moment, Xena exhaled, growing a little as she settled back onto the pillows and tugged the blankets up around her. She gave the bard a grumpy scowl and folded her arms over her chest.
Fine.
Gabriel waited a moment to make sure she'd actually won, then she smiled.
That's better.
She turned and headed for a fruit platter.
If you stop making that face, I'll bring you some breakfast.
Xena stuck her tongue out at the cloth-covered back. I'm not hungry.
Uh-huh.
Gabriel busied herself at the table, slicing off a bit of the thick, nutty bread and spreading some cheese on it, then selecting a few pieces of fruit.
My mistake. I must have confused the thunder with the rumbling I heard from your stomach.
That's right. Xena closed her eyes resolutely.
Too bad,
the bard commented casually.
Guess these peaches will just go to waste.
A blue eye appeared. Peaches? Gabriel nodded.
Nice ripe ones,
she added.
You know what I think, Xena?
I think if you don't bring those peaches over here, I'm going to rope you with these covers and make it a moot point, the warrior stated. That's what I think.
Gabriel muffled a grin and capitulated, stopping to pull a bag from her kit before she walked back over and settled on the edge of the bed,
delivering the bread and fruit to her adorable curmudgeon of a partner.
Well, since you put it so nicely.
She watched Xena bite contentedly into a peach, which she split in half and unpitted, losing a dribble of juice which was making its way down her chin.
Sloppy.
Gabriel leaned over and licked it off, then stole another kiss.
So will you really stay in bed all day?
The fruit was perfect, not too tart, and gentle on her stomach. For a while, yeah, Xena admitted. I'd be senseless to go out in this weather, and I'm not crazy about letting the rest of that crew out there get the idea I've got something to worry about. She nibbled on the bread, finding the cheese, too. Very mild. Not bad.
No,
Gabriel was chewing on her own piece.
Well, here.
She nudged the bed closer.
I got these for you, just to keep your mind busy for a little bit.
Xena glanced at her in mild surprise. Then she unknotted the bag's top with one hand and opened it, then shook out the content. Her eyes widened a little as the sleek, gorgeously carved wood came into view, and she lifted the first of the puzzles, gazing at it admiringly.
Wow.
A smile appeared on Gabriel's face. Thanks. Xena put her bread down and reached out to touch the bard's cheek. They're beautiful. Gabriel stretched out on the bed and laid her head against the warrior's shoulder, as Xena fingered the puzzle, turning it over in the pale light and admiring the fine grain of the wood.
Yeah, they are,
she agreed softly.
I found this stall in the market. They had these, and I found out the seller actually was the one who made them. It was really nice.
Xena was already peering at the puzzle, examining it from all angles as her mind went over its possible solutions. She glanced absently at the bard as a piece of fruit was put to her lips, then took it and bit down. I love these things.
I know.
Gabriel was very pleased with the gift.
Tell you what, you start on that, and I'm going to get my diary. I'm days behind. You can help me remember the trip up here while we finish off our breakfast.
Thunder crashed outside.
Sounds good to me.
Cena glanced at the window.
Glad we're not on the road.
Feel sorry for anyone who is.
Gabrielle agreed.
Eponin stared morosely at the growing puddle, whose edges threatened the soles of her boots.
Stint our butt hairs.
Shh. Eponin arranged the tarp they spread over the wagon in an attempt to keep everyone dry.
Not in front of the baby.
Pony gave her a look.
I bet that kid can curse fiercer than I do.
She glanced pointedly at Dory, who was seated contentedly on a box under the wagon, playing with a favorite toy.
Because I bet she hears a lot of that stuff going on she's around.
Pone,
the Amazon regent warned.
Come on, she's just a kid.
Effingly waggled her fingers at Dory, who grinned at her.
Right, cutie?
Boom, boom!
Dory waved her hands, one of which held the stuffed dragon. The sky answered with a roll of serious thunder and a redoubling of the rain.
Stuffed it!
Effingly growled.
It's bad enough! Thanks!
Effingly chuckled. She doesn't control the weather.
How do you know?
Effingly chewed her lip on that one, then shrugged one shoulder. It had been raining for hours, and they pulled off the road, afraid that the wash of water coming down it, already knee-deep, was reaching flash flood stage. They climbed up onto the embankment and unharnessed the team, then rigged up a shelter as best they could in the open range. It wasn't perfect, but it kept most of the water off them, and the elders could huddle in the wagon in relative comfort while the storm raged. Well, no sense in watching it. Effingly turned and crawled under the wagon, where Kate and Palladia had also taken refuge. Kate was carefully wrapping a leather strip around one of her daggers, while her friend crouched next to her, head brushing the bottom of the wagon, as she sketched in the dirt with a twig. Effingly sat next to Dory and watched the baby play with her toy. Dory seemed to be absorbed in a world of her own, as she patted her hand on the box and moved Flame Bowl along, making him gallop. "What's up, Dory?" Round Miss Green eyes blinked at her.
"Go horsies,"
Dory explained earnestly.
"Baba go fast, swim like fishy. Come up, go down, over there."
She moved the dragon, making its somewhat tattered wings flap.
"Yeah?"
Effingly plucked a blade of grass and chewed on it. "You know what you're doing, Dory?" Dory imitated her, pulling up some of the grass and tossing it.
"Make mess,"
she giggled.
"Get mama."
The Amazon chuckled. "You're making stories." She touched the baby's bare foot, just like your mama does.
"Mama,"
Dory repeated.
"She is, isn't she?"
Kate commented.
"She's quite clever."
"Too smart for her own good," Effingly sighed.
"I keep saying that, and then I realize something very, very scary."
She glanced at the two younger Amazons.
"Someday, this little Hades, on hooves, is going to carry Gabrielle's rite of caste."
"Mama!"
Dory looked up at her, recognizing the name.
"Mama, good."
Effingly's lips quirked. "Well, she gets a point for character judgment," she said.
"How about Xena, Dory? Is Xena good?"
A small silence fell as everyone turned an interest ear towards the child. Dory regarded her with a small frown.
"Boo?"
"Boo. Is Boo good?"
"Yes,"
Dory pronounced.
"Love Boo."
"There."
Kate grinned triumphantly.
"See? She always said so."
Effingly plucked another piece of grass. Pony came over and settled beside her, taking a drink from a water skin before passing it to her partner.
"What do you think she's going to think when she grows up and hears all about the stuff Xena did?"
Everyone looked at Pony.
"What?"
the weapons master asked.
"You know she's gonna. It's not like she lives in a freaking temple of Hestia."
There was an uncomfortable silence. Dory glanced around at them and frowned.
"It shan't matter,"
Kate finally said in a decisive tone.
"She's Gabrielle's daughter, after all."
"Good point," Effingly had agreed. Gabrielle, who not only knew the worst of the stories, she'd lived in them.
"Yeah, you're right," she said.
"If she's half as protective as Gabrielle is, we're all in trouble."
"Double!"
Dory slapped Fimble on the ground.
"No good, make play. Too loud!"
She scowled at them.
"Now what?"
Pony snorted.
"What's her problem?"
She turned to Effingly, who shook her head.
"She's yelling at you."
Palladia spoke up for the first time.
"Telling you to shut up and let her think."
The big Amazon poked the ground with her twig. Eponin snorted. Effingly rubbed her face. Kate brutally went back to her knife. The rain continued. To be continued.
Well, that concludes episode 86 of XNU, and that is the second half of part 6 of A Matter of Pride by Melissa Good. Please check out her webpage. If anybody has any ideas or suggestions for the 100th episode, which is coming up fairly quick, please send an email to me with the idea or a suggestion in there, because I'm going to have to try and get something organized for the 100th episode. So far, I've had some suggestions of stories to be read. You know, people can submit their stories, and then we'll all read them, and then the winning story will be read on the show. The other one is suggestions to try and get Lucy or Renee to make an announcement on the show, or maybe I can get something that they've signed and put that as a contest piece. So, like I said, send me some suggestions, and I'll try and get a hold of one or two of them and put them out in play and see what we can get to come up. But also, if you have any suggestions for movies or book reviews, song dedication or announcements, send them on in. My email is zena.uber@gmail.com. So until the next episode, everyone, take care, enjoy life and love. Bye-bye.